Finn of the Islands. This marking here is first tell of great days of Finn of the Islands. It is me, Jack Rabbit, as makes it. So mad doings of our good lad and cap'n are remembered true and proper, and not all melted into foul black ooze by endless sucking and rushing of waters all about us. First times in this world of marvels Finn and rest of us ever know happen on jaggy scatter of reefs old groans call us dogger. They say dogger is drier once than it is when wrong fish such as us are cursed with being borned there. Most of Ireland then still has green to fatten conies, not just Mammy Hill there on Whaleback, where fishmen has their sturdy fort to keep their own blood safe and dry and boss all of us rest from. But it's endless way of deep to become ever deeper, and year on year lowest humps get turned from dryland fit for humans to washovers only good for silkies to haul out upon and sing their baffling rhymes from, with screech of whitebirds on wind and stinging spray of salty. Finn's kind still has their own hump first years, as he's knowing. He lives there in a cosy crib mackled from weather-white seawards, with kelp between tangled spars against draughty push and hiss of evil weather, and lumps of sod and tatters of placky tied down with twists of fishgut and old blue rope to shed downpour, with his mam called Star and her man called Cod, and with his little sister Shimmer, named for how Moon dances spry with Salty that first night she slips ashore out ship of nowhere onto Dogger. They live there on their hump well enough for a good while, with Star at her loom weaving lore, Cod hooking up fishes and snagging whitebirds, Shimmer gathering scrabblers from puddles. Finn stood out all day in blow on his tod on rocks of reef, Finn feeling wind and weather, reading runes writ in sea froth as they come and go on water, counting blows of whales and arches of blackfish passing. But one bad black night there's a great dark wave as rises up rushing and rolling, the Lord of the Drowned chasing silkies, spearing them one by one down below on his mighty bowsprit, setting black kelp lashing and Salty all bucking and heaving. And this great wave rolls right up and over Finn's home island, right up and over crib of seawards, and Cod and Star and Shimmer are all swept off and away in seethe and surge, and under to world of the drowned. And Finn he never ever sights not a one of them no more. Not our lad Finn, though. Finn's not going under. He's clinging to a spar of seaward, clinging tight as an ockie, clinging all while wild Salty tosses and twirls him, tumbles him and rolls him, plunges him, pounds him, scrapes and grates him raw on reefs, lifts him up and then rolls him, strands him on sandy sucking tideline of Whaleback Island. And that's just where our Kip finds him when lad slopes out for an early slash come daybreak. Shouts us rest out from cleft as we all nest against blowing. Old Dave is old, they call it, but why is forgotten? Finn's all snarled up in shroud of kelp. There's scrabblers nibbling at his toes and at least 1,000 sandy fleas hopping and popping off him. Anyone would take him for a dead un, but as it turns out he ain't. Sits up sudden and gobs out a pint of shingle. Fritz us all pissy. There's still a chill breath off Salty and it's setting lad a shiver. So we haul him up into hole and lean him on rock in smoke by smoulder. That's me, Jack Rabbit, and Kip who already gets mentioned. Bonksy and Goony, Little Billy Badlad, Sad Eric, Harry Christmas, and Gull who's a lass but says she ain't. All of us is sprats then. None sees more than a dozen gather eggs times before Sharkman names us wrongfish who jinx vessels and weather, and who no fishwife ought to muck with when there's proper lads sufficient. And so bastard fishmen curse us and chant us out of bounds, pelt us down across marsh and on to lonely tumbled boulders of dead end. And they don't call it that for nothing. Where sea mares trample rock, spray lashes skin off, and mad wind batters stupid, and there's only old Davy's Hole to offer any shelter, and what it does is scanty. That's where us wrongfish is meant to sit now and chew on shell foods we grovel up with just a damp smoulder of seawoods to warm our cockles. Watching whitebirds sailing free, listening to wind groan and moans of ghosty drowned aboard black wreck lying 3 cables off with her back broke. Surf sucking around her, tonguing rusty ragged skin, grey waves booming irony as they beat her. Not a cheery outlook, even if we choose it and we don't. Fishermen put their dogs on us if we try to plod back past marshes. Say we're wrongfish and we're druv out and that's that. Keep our heads down and manage as best we're able till tide's right for slavers to put in at Whaleback Island. And then our scrawny asses gets all catched up and traded. A barrel of grog and half a side of salt cow is what those bastards expect to earn off each of us still lively. Tidy's up another twice and he's chewed through most of our limpy stew before Finn gets his bones warm and his head on. No one grudges him his comfort. Wrongfish ain't no strangers to starve rats gnawing our innards. And there's always more briny morsels to be picked from puddles. And this Finn has a look about him, with his froth-white hair and eyes black as winkles, dark skin drawn tight to his gristle and bones like cod dried in salt wind, mouth with a twist at its corners that says he sees funny side even when there's not one. It's plain enough to all of us that Finn's blessed with a touch of clever. Finn takes offence when we tell him how we're promised by fishmen to slavers. He says it's not proper to trade kind to pirates just to save trouble of fighting, and anyone who thinks they can slave him is asking for comeuppance. Even a dodgy wrongfish has right to swim where he wants to. Why mope mouldy in a muddle of boulders when whole wide salt is out there with whitebirds sailing far and wide above it? Finn, for one, ain't waiting to be taken somewhere he don't want to. And any as don't fancy signing on for a voyage clear of bondage is a gibber and deserves it. Way he says it cheers us and at the same time gives us shivers. Never mind we don't have a vessel and fishmen's are all hex kept so we can't even snag one. Never mind we don't know nothing about faraway land of England or what tide to take to get there. Nothing happens unless you make it is how that mad lad sees it. Everyone tells Finn not to do it because Black Wreck belongs to Drowned, and if he steps aboard her, he'll be pressed to her crew of dead uns, forced to rove timeless sea and never set foot on dry land again forever and ever after. But Finn says he'll take his chances, his mouth with that twist of fun on, wades out there across reef, and when it gets deep he swims it, plunges slick and sure as a silky through churning. None of us really spec rash lad back ashore, but we're wrong to be so timid. Dark comes and then light again, but here he is now a-bobbing, stepping up strand from surf with sparklers of salty dripping off him, though he keeps our distance for a bit. Might be them slide Eddins trance him out there, and now they send him back to us ridden. We're all but sure it ain't so, but you can't say it can't happen. But then his chest moves like he's sucking air, and he doesn't smell too rotten, so we sits down with him by smoulder and watch him snag choice chunks from fish pot, and no one says he don't have a right to, or even troubles to think it. Must be deadens don't consider Black Wreck holds treasure worth preserving, or they already carry best of it off to Lord of the Drowned. Finn says there's still riches left for picking, though, and any lad not frit to get his bollocks wet can easy haul enough to buy a chance at freedom. Way Finn says it, we're all thinking ingots. Maybe a handful of sparklers apiece. Yellow coats of placky cloth. Handy daggers and choppers that ain't too rusty. This thinking makes us chipper, and all of us says we're with him. So when tide falls, we get to wading and ducking tumbling surf behind him. It gets a bit breathless before we can grab onto Black Wreck's warty iron and get amongst her gloomy innards. Sad Eric barely makes it, chokes down a briny gutful and goes under. Finn grabs lad by hair or he's just a sunk bite for congers. We clambers up through vessel's ruined belly, There's ladders here and there, or else it's swing and scrabble. It's eerie making way between her rotten decks. Iron groans gouged by rocks. Deep boom of salty heartbeat echoing in chest. Ringing dizzy in head. Feels like a ghosty place to be, but Finn still says it ain't. Turns out treasure's not sparklers nor ingots neither. Finn says he never says it is when some of us says it's a letdown. 100 fathom of plucky line all snarled up to glory in mangled ironwork. 4 dozen blue barrels bobbing in a flooded hold. Big old mess of drift net. Mouldy tarp with holes in. Empty carpentered crates in a locker. Most would see rough salvage, but it takes a sightful lad like Finn to far see that junk all mackled into a vessel and call it treasure. Finn's got clever and sees things different. Though some a bit more simple is still doubtful and goes and says so. So now Finn gets a bit of a cob on, says everyone should shut their traps, get line coiled and rest of bits stacked for moving while he has a sit and a think somewhere peaceful. And we should all look lively, or he makes a vessel on his tod and leaves us mopes to slavers. Finn always gets arsy when crew don't see a thing clear as he do. Tide's starting to run and we're all ready to launch for shore with our plunder. We yell Finn, but he don't show himself or answer. No one is eager to be mug who goes to find him, so off Jack ops to do it. He ain't hiding, so it's easy. He's just stood like a cap'n on slanty deck of wheelhouse, gazing out through cracked glassy at salty rolling endless, humming a song in time with green-black heaving, counting bright beaks as they come and go across rise and fall of water. Something eerie about him. Jack asks what's he seeing out there, but he don't exactly answer. Nods at a mess of gullshite spattered black and white across glassy. Smiles and raises an eyebrow. Must be Jack's fizz says he don't get it, cos now Finn's pointing, his nails circling a scatter of mucky gobbets. Dogger, he says. This here is whaleback, and them other humps and jaggy reefs all strung out beyond. Whitebird craps a chart out, so now we know how to steer for England. Wrongfish crew is glad to hear we've got a true course to sail on, but they don't need to know nature of its plotting, so Jack don't tell them. Good as his word, Finn guides us how to mackle our vessel from treasure we recover and a couple of big seawoods washed up among boulders. You couldn't call her pretty as she sits there on surf line with raggy tarpsail, cracking windy. But we're proud of how sound we craft her. Reckon her well worthy to float us free of islands. And Finn names her Shimmer, cos he says that's lucky, and we all gather and piss on her woods to make it certain. Well, all of us except Girl, who's still too shy to let on she's lacking a todger. Not that no one really cares much one way or another. And Shimmer's ready right timely, because now here come slavers. Square sails blowing sudden around headland, hauling into Fishman's Cove at foot of Mammy Hill. We need to be gone on next launching tide, before they get dogs out to chase us down and brand us, carry us off to Conti Land and who knows what horrible tomorrow. It's a wild ride to get out past breakers. Feels like we're all aboard Lord of the Drowned's Great Black Serpent. Everyone yelling and howling against tumult, clinging tight to rope and spar while Finn heaves at sternboard to earn us steerage. Black wreck gives us cover to start with, but we're only out a cable beyond her when Billy Badlad starts up shouting fishmen put their skiffs out, and we can all see them when waves lift us, bare backs bent and rowing strong towards us. Obvious they outpace us, and our voyage is done before it started. That thought don't exactly cheer us, and we wonder why we bother in first place if this is all freedom due us. But Finn, he don't seem bothered. He sets his feet for balance against sickly rolling and flexing of our vessel, makes wings of his arms outstretched to match sea and sky join, starts to singing a weird song that has no words in. He sings it for a while and skiffs are getting closer. count twice 100 and they're on us. No one can tell what he's up to. And then there's Blackfish breaching, arching and diving. Gull reckons there's a dozen all stitching a ring around us, around and about us, till water settles smooth and greasy, almost like it has a skin on, and whole world quietens, even whitebirds, as sky darkens hazy, murk smothers close, stinking like a drowned's breeches tight to face. Your lad Bonksy starts to whimper, says he's feared of deadens. Finn gives him a clip to his lughole, says only thing to be frit of here is slavers, and if Bonksy don't stop snivelling he chucks him over into Salty so his row don't bring them on us. So he sits tight and quiet for a good while with Blackfish lolling about us, fishmen cursing back and forth in murk though we don't see them. And then here comes a breeze again plumping tarpsail, murk thinning and disappearing, Blackfish having a last look at us before slapping tails and sounding. So now there's nothing but grey above Salty spread empty from far to wide and us wrongfish bobbing out there on it. And Finn, he starts up a beat on his thigh, calling on us one and all to dig our boards in deep and paddle, trimming our bonny shimmer's sail to catch a fair breeze for England, and all of us chanting with him now, eager for adventure. And that's end of first tell, though there's many a great doing comes after. How he passes over drowned giants with their great swords cutting round slow below, by reefs of ruined castles and among mazy mud at shore of England, into wide mouth of dirty river and up it among wildwoods, where floods come and wreck us, and poor old Harry Christmas gets grabbed and ate by Snapdragon. How we finally come to Sunkton, and Finn treats with sly leapers and eely witches to let us govern it forever. These doings all need telling, and Jack Rabbit's lad who counts them true and proper, cos he's there right from start off and he says things how he sees them. But it takes a while to scratch marks clear, and it's not every day it feels right. And it's true what that Grizz Leapus says, how sometimes a scribbler gets tired of scratching, and just wants to nest cosy and quiet by smoulder with plug of weed in pipe. So any as wants to hear more of Finn of the Islands and his great days of mystery and amazement will have to be a bit patient, and also vote Jack Rabbit a bonus share of all plunder took hereafter, in due respect of his deathless markings.